Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, March 28th, is the Feast of St. Castor, Martyr of Tarsus. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis prays for victims of a massive earthquake that struck Myanmar. Christians in South Sudan are expressing deep concern as violence escalates. And Cardinal Pietro Parolin calls for a just and lasting peace in Ukraine and Gaza. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Pope Francis has expressed his closeness to the populations of Myanmar and Thailand, struck by a 7.7 magnitude earthquake on Friday. In a telegram sent on the same day, the Pope expressed his sorrow at the loss of life and the widespread devastation. The Pope offered heartfelt prayers for the souls of the deceased and assured victims of his spiritual closeness to all affected by the tragedy. His thoughts also went out to all emergency personnel, whom he prayed may be sustained in their care of the injured and displaced by the divine gifts of fortitude and perseverance. It's hard to tell the state of the destruction at this stage, but Mark Farmer, director of Burma Campaign UK, tells Francesco Mirlo no part of the country has been spared.
We're still getting news in from different parts of the country, but it doesn't seem like anywhere has been spared from the impacts of this earthquake. Central Burma, Mandalay, the capital Naypyidaw, southern Tagine state seems to be most badly impacted, with a lot of infrastructure and buildings damaged, including hospitals. But right the way across the country, even in places much further away from the epicenter of the quake, it's affected people like living in bamboo houses, and even refugees living in camps in neighboring Thailand have been impacted as well. It's going to be hard to assess the full impact, partly because the Burmese military will never release accurate figures, but also because they've lost control of large parts of the country now. There's multiple administrations, which makes the response to this humanitarian crisis even more challenging.
What's the hope now for receiving aid? What are the next steps?
The delivery of aid in response to this earthquake is going to be very challenging. The Burmese military already places some of the most severe restrictions on humanitarian aid anywhere in the world. So international aid that is going officially in areas that are controlled by the Burmese military, it's usually slow, it's heavily restricted, and obviously in a situation like this with people buried alive, you need instant assistance, and it's unlikely that the Burmese military will allow in much of that kind of support and assistance. The local churches do have an advantage in that the military does not place such severe restrictions on their movements, so they can have an advantage in getting access where perhaps the Burmese military will not permit access from international aid agencies or others, so they have an opportunity there. And I think what's needed is to be creative and to find, you know, the smaller churches or organizations, networks, to be able to deliver this aid in a flexible way. It's not possible to just sort of give a 1 or 2 million grant to one organization and expect it to be able to help people across the country.
That was Mark Farmer, director of Burma Campaign UK, speaking with Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis has also offered his prayers for those who have been injured and for the relief efforts of the firefighters and other emergency personnel in South Korea's worst ever wildfires. Joseph Tulloch has that report.
Pope Francis has expressed his deep concern over the raging wildfires in South Korea, which have been declared the worst in the country's history. In a telegram signed by the Holy See's Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Pope entrusted, quote, the souls of the deceased to the loving mercy of Almighty God, and sent his heartfelt condolences to those mourning the loss of loved ones. The message added that Pope Francis prays for those who have been injured and for the relief efforts of the firefighters and other emergency personnel. The telegram, sent to local civil and church authorities, closed with the Pope invoking divine blessings of consolation, healing and strength upon everyone in South Korea. At least 28 people have been killed and thousands of homes, factories and other structures have been destroyed since the fires began on March the 21st. Some 30,000 people have had to flee their homes, and officials have said that around 8,000 South Koreans are staying in temporary shelters. Rain and cooler weather have, however, helped the country's firefighters to battle the devastating fires. The Korea Forest Service chief has announced that all the main fires at four of the hardest hit areas in the southeastern part of the country have now been contained. I'm Joseph Tarluk.
Churches in South Sudan have joined in expressing deep concern over the recent upsurge of violence and tensions between President Salva Kiir and his first vice president, former rebel leader Riek Machar, which risk plunging the country in a new deadly civil war. Tensions between the rival leaders increased in March when a militia loyal to Machar overran an army base in Upper Nile State, and have further escalated after Machar was arrested on Wednesday. With the latest, here's Lisa Zangarini.
The arrest of Riek Machar, South Sudan's first vice president, marks the latest turn in the turbulent relationship with his rival, President Salva Kiir, which goes back to South Sudan's independence in 2011. The two rival leaders were at the centre of the devastating civil war that erupted in 2013 and divided the country along ethnic lines, with Kiir leading forces predominantly from the Dinka group and Machar rallying support from the Nuer. The five-year war led to immense suffering, with over 400 deaths and massive displacement, severely undermining the stability of the young nation, which was visited by Pope Francis in 2023. Although the armed conflict officially ended in 2018 with a peace agreement, whose full implementation, however, is still stalling, tensions between the two strongmen of South Sudan have continued to haunt the country's political landscape, which is also plagued by local and tribal conflicts. Following the latest developments, the UN warned this week that South Sudan was teetering on the edge of a new civil war. Churches in South Sudan have reacted to the events with a new appeal to dialogue. The Council of Evangelical Churches of South Sudan has called for an impartial investigation into the root causes of these conflicts. The church has also expressed concern over the presence of foreign forces in South Sudan and encouraged the resolution of security issues through diplomatic engagement, ensuring that national sovereignty and stability are respected. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Turning to Western Africa, in Mali, in the throes of a civil war that's been raging for more than a decade, a project centered on sharing meals is bringing Christians and Muslims together. In a country where about 95% of the population are Muslim, the transitional Malian government launched an initiative of solidarity and cohesion called Operation Sunkalo Solidarite. As Kelsey Agassi tells us, each day some 300 meals are offered to people at 61 different locations throughout the country.
With the start of Ramadan on March 1st, people from different backgrounds gathered all together in various places around Mali to share food every day at 6 p.m. when Muslims break their fast. Everyday workers, local authorities, and NGOs gather to break the Ramadan fast by distributing meals and food packages at specific places, like football fields or mosques. Around the country, some 300 food packages are offered each day at each of the 61 locations. This year, the initiative is extra special as Ramadan coincides with the Christians' Lent. So this year, the entire Malian population has the opportunity to share moments of unity over a meal. Local authorities, religious leaders, and ordinary citizens end their days with a meal that concludes with prayers and blessings. In addition to the food packages, 50 tons of rice were delivered to the country's principal Muslim and Christian religious organizations by the Minister of Religious Affairs, Worship, and Customs. This initiative is part of a larger project called Operation Sunkalu Solidarite, which was started by the president of the transitional government, Army General Assimi Goita. Its goal is to offer support to vulnerable populations through religious structures. The Deputy Director General of the Maison du Hadij described this initiative as a testament to the authorities' commitment to the Muslim and Christian religious communities. He stressed, in this special time for both religions, Lent and Ramadan, this gesture enables many families to live with dignity. And this initiative takes place in the context of the fact that Mali has been in the throes of a civil war, which has lasted for more than a decade between the country's regular army and different jihadist groups in conflict with the central government and with each other. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin has reiterated the Holy See's firm stance against the possession of nuclear weapons and has urged political leaders and amid heightened global tensions to engage in peaceful, constructive governance. The Secretary of State of the Holy See was speaking at an event near Rome dedicated to promoting issues related to hospitality, migration, and social inclusion. Linda Bordoni has this report.
Sounding the alarm on current global tensions and increasingly divisive and inflammatory rhetoric, Cardinal Parolin renewed the Vatican's call for a just peace in Ukraine, urging negotiations without preconditions. And he urged Hamas and Israel to seek solutions without resorting to violence. The cardinal also addressed the power of language, echoing Pope Francis's plea to disarm words to disarm the world. In dialogue with some of the participants at the event, who mentioned recent remarks by U.S. President Trump and his collaborators, who referred to Europeans as parasites, Parolin said disarming words is essential to prevent them from turning into war. On nuclear weapons, Parolin was equally unequivocal. Their mere possession is immoral, he repeated, linking rising global instability to growing distrust between nations and an unbridled arms race. The cardinal also questioned the effectiveness of international institutions, urging leaders to act and reform systems that have struggled to adapt to today's multipolar world, before exposing the European paradox of fearing migrants while simultaneously needing them. Finally, he lamented the exodus of Christians from the Middle East, calling it a great tragedy from both a religious and communal perspective. The diminishing Christian presence in the region, he said, not only weakens its historical religious roots, but also removes a moderating influence that helps alleviate tensions. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And finally, the director of the Holy See Press Office today offered a new update on Pope Francis's improving medical condition.
The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, held a briefing for journalists on Friday to provide an update on Pope Francis's recovery from bilateral pneumonia. Mr. Bruni said the Pope's health is stable, noting he has shown slight improvements in respiratory and motor functions as well as in his speech. Pope Francis spent 38 days at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, returning this past Sunday to his Vatican residence at the Casa Santa Marta. In his first briefing since then, the press office director said the Holy Father continues to gradually reduce the amount of high-flow oxygen he receives through nasal cannulas during the day, accompanied by a slight reduction at night. According to blood tests carried out on Wednesday, the Pope's hematological parameters are normal. Pope Francis continues to alternate between therapy, prayer, rest, and some work activity. Mr. Bruni said the dicasteries of the Roman Curia are sending documents to update him on their activity. Every day, he added, the Pope celebrates Mass in the chapel of the Casa Santa Marta. Mr. Bruni said the Pope has not had any particular visits to report. He added that Pope Francis has been informed of the earthquake in Myanmar, saying he is praying for the many victims. On Friday morning, the Pope followed the second Lenten sermon delivered by Father Roberto Pasolini via video link broadcast by Vatican Media. Asked about the Sunday Angelus, Mr. Bruni noted that the text of the Pope's prepared remarks will be released by the Holy See Press Office, as has been done on previous Sundays. I'm Devin Watkins.
And in the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.